Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Give a whole talk about treating our work like an athletic event, and when you see it that way, it doesn't mean you don't have fun. And I mean, having a shift drink and hanging with people you just did battle with should never be taken away.
But I mean, what's wrong with like calling that out a little bit? It almost feels like our industry is growing up a little bit. And I know it's easy to hold on to like. It's easy to hold on to what was and to really glorify it. And I liked the school of hard knocks. I liked how hard life was. I felt like I was doing something not a lot of people could handle. But it doesn't mean it needs to be the norm. And I think to have that stuff challenged, I don't think is that awful.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
I'm gonna shut the fuck up for 30 seconds. You might learn something.
Welcome to Homer Foods Live, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jack. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your feast on flaws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. It's Thursday night, friends. That means Plum Love Foods Live. Coming at you right here on, what is it? What is the hell is today's date? Let me see. Today is Thursday, November 18th. Joining me on the program, as always, the one and only Chef Dan. Dan, happy Thursday, buddy.
Yo. What up, what up? Happy Thursday indeed.
Jeffy will be joining us in a little while. He's running a little late from work. He had a busy night, but that's a good thing, right? He used to be busy at work.
Hell yeah. Yeah, handling it. That's what we do. You know, time calls. Got to do it. Throw down.
That's what he does. Handle his business. You know, he's doing big things.
Big things, baby. Big things. That's what we do.
So funny, man. We got a great show tonight. We're going to be revisiting the ongoing conversation on this program all about pizza. And we had none better to talk pizza with us than the pizza genius himself joining us in a few minutes, Colin Kaplan. What a great guy to talk pizza with, Dan.
I'm super excited. Last time you had him on, I wasn't on, so I missed that. So I have tons of questions. I love pizza. Pizza is fucking delicious. Yeah. I cannot wait to hear, you know, the new age stuff, what's going on. You know, hear some things about all over the country, the pizzas we can hear about. It's a beautiful thing. Pizza is a marvelous, marvelous, delicious item that I cannot wait. I want some pizza right now. God damn it.
It's a marvelous thing. I like how you said it's a marvelous thing. Marvelous thing. Yeah, man. I can't wait. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. I'm excited to have a little pizza in our life and talk some pizza with good brother Colin Kaplan here in a little bit. You know, listen, today though, Dan, today was a big day. It was a big day for me. A very big day. Do you know why?
I do know why, but I kind of want you to tell me because
Well, on
I love hearing it.
This NPR show I host, I got to interview an icon, someone who has taught thousands of people across the world how to cook. I got to interview the one and only Lydia Bastianich, Dan. How awesome was that?
Yes. Oh, it was. I actually heard the show, and it was amazing. I felt for you. I was actually smiling just listening to you guys talk, and it was amazing.
Man, I'll tell you what. And the best part was I asked her a question about using herbs, and I was like, so, Lydia, am I wrong about this? And she goes, yes, you're wrong. And I was like, I just had Lydia Bastianich yell at me and tell me I was wrong. That was awesome.
That's great, man. Hey, a true chef can actually respect that. Like, understand that. Okay, cool.
I was like, okay. Yep. I mean, I asked her. Because, look, here's why. Because a lot of those fiend herbs you talk about, basil, you talk about chervil, you know, those delicate herbs. You know what I'm talking about, right? I don't like to cook with them as much as I like to finish with them. Because I think when you cook with them, and I didn't get this deep with Lydia, but, you know, they turn brown. They don't look great in a pan or on a dish. I don't know. I like to finish
them. They lose a lot of flavor.
Yeah, and, like, you know, I didn't get deep into it, but when I'm making, like, a tomato sauce, I would put basil in the sauce to cook down the stems and everything. But then I take it out, and then I'll finish it with fresh basil. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And then she is kind of saying the same thing, I think, didn't she?
Yeah, I mean, there's where different techniques that people use. Everybody has their own ways of doing things. I think it's a fine line sometimes, and some people, you know, they take it the way they want to take it. So she has her way of doing things. You have your way of doing things. I don't think any one of them is wrong. I think she was kind of on the same track. She was just kind of like, you know, then a lot of times with especially with the basil and tomato sauce, it's kind of a touchy subject for some people.
Well, you know, I just don't like it to get all, like, dark and gross looking in there. That's my big thing, you know what I mean? And I understand it. I could be, like, you know, in the minority with it. But and then I said when you get those hearty herbs, like a rosemary, like a thyme, like a lavender, you can cook with those all day long because they hold up.
Yeah, so, no, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, I'll put the basil in right at the end. I mean, yeah, like you said, the stems in there, but I'll take them out. And then I won't even put it in the sauce. I'll mix the sauce with the pasta and then throw the basil in because I want that fresh basil flavor.
Yeah, get that freshness in there. I agree completely. I think it's I don't know. You're right. I don't think it's a right or wrong. I think it's just different opinions. But I think Lydia Bastianich definitely had her opinion and did not hesitate to let me know.
Hey, and you know what? She's right. I'm going to say she's right. Whatever she says, she's on it.
Absolutely. Who's going to tell her she's wrong? You know, I mean, she's a damn legend, an icon.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
I'm not the one to do it. But it was a great conversation. Hey, and that episode will be available on anywhere you get podcasts and stuff like that. If you want to check that out, it's around. It's easy to find. Just type in Seasoned anywhere you get your podcast from. You can also tell if you have a smart speaker, whether it's Google or Alexa, whatever you got, just, you know, ask them to play Seasoned and you check that show out. It's much different than this program. That's for damn sure.
It is. You're a totally different person. You're like so like calm and cool. You're just like everyone's your friend. Like, it's awesome. I mean, everyone's your friend all the time, but you don't snap back at us like you do to, you know, you and Marty Sark are like cool. You yell at us all the time, but, you know,
we've come to accept it. I don't yell at you. I'm trying to help.
Or maybe not me, but maybe Jeff.
I love Jeffy, but sometimes I'm just trying to help him be better. I want him to be the best Jeffy he can be. And this game where you speak and people listen, it's not easy. You've learned that.
Absolutely. Nope. You're right. I get it. It's hard as hell. Every week I'm trying to get better and better. It's a very difficult task. I listen to you and I'm just at all because I can't do it. I wanted to call today. I was like, man, I'm going to call. And I was like, no, because I'm going to embarrass myself. And then he's going to be like, oh, this is a sky. And Plum's going to be like, oh, I don't know this dude no more because I'm going to tell her something. She's going to tell me something. I'm like, nah, you're wrong, Lydia. She's going to be like, oh, I'm cut off. The chefs are going to be like, nope, that's the guy that told Lydia she was wrong. And then I'm going to be that guy. It's, you know,
I just would have yelled prank caller and hung up on you. Prank caller. Prank caller.
I don't know that guy.
I don't know who that dude was. That's terrible. I don't know what the fuck that guy's talking about. Well, it was a great conversation. It really was awesome to talk to a legend like that. I mean, dude, she's been cooking on PBS for like 30-some years, man. So cool.
Oh, yeah. My mom loves her. My mom was – I was actually going to – I'm sending it to my mom so that she could listen to it because my mom would be very excited to hear about that because she loves Lydia being an Italian, and she loves that simple cooking stuff, so she's all about it.
Yeah, you know, the problem is when you do a show like that, you know, like Seasoned, you get those people who – they kind of, they have it on in the background and they're just kind of listening, but they're not really listening, you know what I'm saying? And that was so evident today when this guy called in and was like trying to call me out about frying a turkey. This motherfucker thought I said cook that turkey at 350, the fryer oil at 350 for 12 to 15 minutes per pound.
Yeah.
No. I mean, listen, yeah. You do it in the oven like that, you could calculate your time if you want. But when you're frying it, it's about 3 minutes per pound. And I think we handled, you heard it. I think I handled that pretty well. I didn't yell at him, but I definitely smacked him down a little bit.
Man, you handled it great, because I was like, I wanted to be, again, I would have been like, who the fuck is this guy? And then they'd have been like, nope. I'm like, oh, man, nope, you handled it like a G. You were like, no, man, that wasn't what you, you know, this is how we did it, and you guys talked about it. He was like, oh, okay. Like, he kind of, you left him feeling good about himself.
Right.
And I think that's what's important when you're on a show like an NPR show, is that everybody walks away feeling good about themselves, and you definitely handled it great.
I smacked him down right off the bat, though. I was like, nope, that's not what I said.
Yeah, yeah, what show were you listening to?
But, yeah, if you haven't checked the show out, please do. It's a great program. A lot of fun things happening on that show. And next week's a great show. It's all about Thanksgiving sides, and it's going to air on Thanksgiving Day. So I think you guys might enjoy that one, too. But tonight, well, Dan, tonight it's all about pizza. What's some of the best pizza you ever had, Dan, if you could think about it?
I get a margarita. It's called the Albania Special. It's our favorite pizza we get from our little place called Casanova in Shelton, Connecticut. And it's got fresh ricotta. It has roasted peppers, spinach, broccoli, and I can get hot cherry peppers on it. It's nice. Like a vegetable pizza. I love it.
I like the cherry peppers on there. That's delicious for sure.
Yeah.
Currently, mine is the La La Land with pepperoni, which comes from good brother Matt Stanzacek from Good Old Days Pizza here in Newtown, Connecticut. He actually uses vodka sauce on there instead of tomatoes. And
hell yeah.
It is so fucking slamming. Dude, I mean, all of his pizzas are good, but I love that one so much. I probably get it now once a week. It's so fucking good. I don't give a fuck. It's delicious.
I'm so jealous that you're so close to that.
Bro. He's lighting it up. It's a whole new game, what he's doing with pizza. And I'm so proud of him for everything he's doing. So, you know, I really hope. I want to make sure to get Colin out there at some point. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. I want to go there, man. I've been trying. I keep trying. And one day I was going to go. I was going. And you're like, I think they're closed. And I was like, God damn it. It was like a Monday, because Mondays are the only days that I can like head out of town. So it's hard. So if I can't get there Sunday, I try to go Mondays. A lot of places, a lot of restaurants aren't open, so it's difficult. You know, chef life.
Totally. Joining the program right now is a man who travels the entire streets of New York City with his bare feet. He cooks food for every human being he can find. He lifts up every individual that he comes in contact with. This man is a three-time national champion and a former WWE hardcore champion, former NWA tag team champion, and allegedly, could be a pizza-spinning world champion. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now on the program, finally, the one, the only, Chef Jeff Barazzi.
Jeff, hey, yeah! Hey, Jeff.
Hey, kids.
What's up, buddy?
How's everybody doing?
Oh, we've had better days. We'll talk about that later, but, you know.
Definitely had some better days, I got to be honest. Today's been one of those days. It's a tough day all the way around.
It has. I've got myself pulled together enough to speak now. I've been kind of a mess for a little bit.
I can only imagine, brother. My heart goes to you. If I was closer, we'd hug.
Well, we'll talk about that later on. But tonight, more importantly, Jeffy, we're going to continue our ongoing conversation here on Plumlow Foods all about pizza with one of the best pizza dudes on the planet. Colin Campbell is going to be with us in just a few minutes. We're making his return to the show, Jeffy.
Absolutely. I love Colin. He's the prophet of pizza. He does the work. He's doing God's work. He's out there. He's teaching the people. He's eating pizza all over this great country of ours. I'm always impressed at the knowledge he brings. It blows my mind.
Absolutely. And we talked a little bit before about the chance that I got to interview Lydia Bastianich today, Jeffy. And I know you didn't hear the show because you were working, but at one point in our interview, I asked her a question about using fresh herbs, and she told me, nope, you're wrong, which was fantastic.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it was about great. What aren't you Spoosie's fresh roast?
Well, I'm not going to recap it. I already did that before you got here. So, you know.
I'm sorry. I already missed that. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Just using fresh herbs versus.
You can turn into season.
Yeah. joining us on the program right now, he is the world's foremost first expert on pizza in the entire world. And I would even say on Mars as well as Jupiter. He is New Haven's celebrated pizza son. He is the prophet of pizza. He is a producer. He is an entrepreneur. And he is an expert when it comes to pizza. But more importantly, he is a friend of the program and a really, really good dude. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program, Colin Kaplan.
Yeah.
What's up,
my space? My space station is buzzing right now.
I'm not sure what that means, I feel like I might have flirted with you or something.
No, I'm on a different planet. You definitely said a bunch of planets.
Yep.
You guys have to remember something though. I'm only a New Haven pizza guy.
No.
You guys give me so much props, but there is these wicked, unbelievably knowledgeable people out there. I'm just a New Haven pizza guy, and I'm not even the guy making pizza when you go get Modern, Sally's, Pepe's, Ernie's, Zupardi's, Roseland, any one of these New Haven-style pizza places. I am not that guy making your pizza. But I just talk about it.
But here's the thing, right? So clearly on here on Plumlove Foods Live, if you have a microphone, you're an expert. That's how we look at things. And if you have a microphone, you're clearly the foremost expert if you're on this program. So in our world, Colin, you're the expert to us. You are the smartest individual when it comes to pizza that we know. Am I wrong, Jeffy? So
it's absolutely true. You are the smartest person when it comes to pizza, hands down.
Yep.
And, you even got me saying the beats. That's all I got to tell you. And that's hard to do.
Well, Jeff, that's a huge deal because I was going to say, I don't even talk about pizza.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
I only talk about
Abby. Well, listen, so Colin, I got to ask you, man, before we jump into a few questions about other pizzas and things like that, can you give us the abridged version, just so people who haven't heard us talk before, about pizza? You know, one of the things that I say when it comes to New Haven-style pizza, and you can correct me here, and Jeffy would love it if you do, I'm sure, but I equate New Haven pizza to basically being pizza as we know it today, like pizza as we know it, you know, what we consider getting a pizza, whether it's being brought to your house, whether you're going someplace to buy it, whether you're in Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, basically originated in New Haven. Is that a fair statement?
I'm about to blow your mind.
Here we go.
With this interesting fact. There's a man, a very, very smart man named Nathan Myhrvold.
Okay.
He is a genius. He is the founder of a small company called Microsoft, James Beard award-winning chef, photographer, patent owner, chef, author. I can keep going.
Wow.
This guy.
Wow.
He just wrote a book called Modernist Pizza.
Okay.
He wrote Modernist Bread. He wrote Modernist Cuisine. His site is called Modernist Cuisine, and he's about to write one called Modernist. I think it's going to be called Pastry. In his book, Modernist Pizza, which is a 3-volume set plus a cooking book. So it's 4 volumes. It costs about $450 on Amazon. Good luck with that. If you read the part where it talks about New Haven, there's about 4 chapters on New Haven. It mentions that New Haven style is what they believe to be the original style from Naples.
Come on,
so when Naples pizza, when the people from Naples, from Napoli, from old Italia, they came here 150 years ago, they were making pizza like we eat here in New Haven. Like that's the, what he says.
This those is old paisans.
It's a beautiful story.
Beautiful story. In it, I got the mic. You guys told me I had the mic. I could talk.
Amazing.
I love this.
I got a beer.
Amazing.
I got the mic in my car.
We're hitting my car, but is it a fair assessment though? I don't know if we got to the nuts and bolts of the question there with that. A fair assessment that, you know, the first pizzas that we would get, whether it would be like a delivery, like talking the original Frank Pepe with the pizza boxes on his head, riding a bicycle to deliver them to factory workers across New Haven, being kind of the first delivery pizza, the first what we think of as pizza here in America.
I'm going to say that he is one of them. So I'm pretty good about being as honest as I can be, as straightforward. And even though I could tout and I could straight up lie, but I'm not going to, because we're good people and we're doing good things here. We're doing God's work, right, Jeff?
Absolutely.
So the thing about it is, I'm going to say that Frank Pepe was one of our pizza prophets. He was a guy going out of his way to show what real good pizza was. And he made pizza an American food. He is one of the guys to help make it an American food. He wasn't the first. He wasn't the last. He wasn't the only. But did he make it really well? Hell yeah. Did people come from all over to get it? You got it right. Do people know about Frank Pepe's today? Yes. Why is there a Frank Pepe's in half the Eastern Seaboard? It's fucking great. It's great pizza. And that's the whole point. So I think there's a testament to why Frank Pepe is the one still standing. He's the voice. He's his name, and we forget about his wife too, because Philomena Pepe, she also made pizza. She also ran the business. You know, you got to remember about the women in the business. They also run shit. So I'm just saying, you know, because he was one of the last men standing, he does have the name out there. He is still here. His business is still here. Bam.
All right.
Listen, I think this is all great. I love this story. I think it's beautiful. But what about Lombardi's? Where does Lombardi's fit into Napoli-style pizza? And it was opened in 1905. Isn't that predate any pizza in New Haven?
No.
So there's facts, and then there's actually not facts. And the Lombardi story is not factual.
There's not facts.
It's not factual.
Well, not facts are, as you surmise, not facts are not factual. Lombardi's story is so convoluted, and it's a fable.
It's like the Bible, Jeffy.
You stop.
Parts of the Bible, yeah. Parts of the Bible are actually factual, but
thank you.
Maybe. We don't know.
No, but so here's the thing about Lombardi's. Gennaro Lombardi came over in 1904 to the United States. He did not open his own business as a 16-year-old when he was here. He did, however, work for another pizzeria in 1905. He did not run his own business until, we believe, about 1920. So the whole Lombardi story is this kind of conjecture. Yeah, their history goes back. But, you know, they also closed. They closed in the 70s.
Yes.
There was no Lombardi's for 10 years.
Yeah, they didn't open again until the 80s, 85, I think, something like that.
It opened again as an Italian restaurant. They did not make pizza.
Wow.
And then they closed again, and they moved, and then a friend of the family opened up the Lombardi's that we now know down the street.
Hey,
and
listen.
They had the recipe, and they make a pizza that's pretty close to what they probably made, or, you know, and I'll be honest, I've had it. It's on Scott's Pizza Tours, which is like, Scott Wiener is one of the prophet guru, like God sent him to the earth to help pizza. People got to know about Scott Wiener. Yeah, he's the man. I went on one of his tours and got to Lombardi's, and, you know, it's good pizza. I mean, they know how to make pizza there, but no, they are not the original pizza. There's older pizzerias.
Oh, shit, Jeffy, did you hear that? Hold on, I got to do this for Jeffy. Hey, look, really quick. Hey, by the way.
Hearing this is a fable, it breaks my New York heart.
Wait, Jeffy, that's a good Paisan name right there, huh? Gennaro Lombardi. I mean, that's a good – that dude's got a couple of pinky rings and definitely wears three watches.
Oh, yeah. He was. I think he was in the family.
Hey, he's got some gabagool over there, huh?
Maybe.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to let you guys talk about that stuff. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either. I just jumped in. Hey, let me ask you this, Colin. This is a question I've kind of been wondering for a long time. And then actually, we'll do this and I'll get those plugs out there for you. How much history with pizza in Connecticut, in New Haven specifically, is rooted in, I don't know, like some nefarious stuff or even like mob type things? Is there any history in the two together?
Oh, you really want to know?
Yeah. I'm a journalist.
Yeah, sure. You know, I mean, I wrote a book on it called Pizza in New Haven. Along the way, I became, you know, one of the, you know, I got into the, you know. So along the way, of course, I discovered things. And, you know, I'll just mention this, that there was one of the biggest mob guys in Connecticut was a guy named Billy Grasso.
Okay.
Billy Grasso. Yep. Okay. Billy Grasso was he wasn't a boss. He was just a big dude. He got his shit done. So Billy Grasso's mom and dad, they ran a pizzeria in New Haven in the 30s in Fairhaven. And so he grew up in a pizzeria.
Wow.
And you don't think about, like, that's the ultimate story of a kid who's like a little street kid who's doing his thing and his parents are making pizza at their spot. And then he grows up and he's like, hey, I'm going to whack you.
Hey,
I'm
going to whack you.
So there's other stories though. Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm literally looking at it right now. I'm sitting in my car. I'm scoping it out. I'm across the street from Modern. And, you know, back when Modern started, it wasn't called Modern. It was actually called a couple other names. The second name was called Tony's Abitz. Say it. Tony's Abitz.
Tony's Abitz.
Thank you. Now you're one of us. So Tony himself, Tony Toli or Toli. If you've ever heard of Toli's Abitz in East Haven, now they're in Johns Island, South Carolina as well. So you can go to Toli's Abitz in outside of Charleston.
That's a weird place for it, isn't it? Oh, Charleston's a great food city. That makes sense.
It's a great food city. It's also a great place to go and live, right? So you want to get out of the cold, but you still want to eat good pizza. So yeah, so Toli's family has a few stories going back. Not all of them want to talk about it. I heard it firsthand from Toli's daughter. So I mean, these are real deal things. Nefarious, yeah. I mean, were there murders? Yeah, actually, Toli's nephew Carmine Peluso was shot and killed outside of his pizzeria in the 70s during a botched robbery.
I fucking love these names.
These are all my cousins and uncles. What are you talking about? Every one of those names is in my family.
You got a Toli? You got a Carmine?
I got a Carmine. Yep. I got a Carmine. I got a Toli.
Jesus.
You have a Generoso?
Yeah, Generoso.
I don't have a Generoso. Listen, I don't have a Generoso.
Let me tell you right now.
They're generous.
I love a
Francis.
I love a sandwich with some Generoso on it. That shit's delicious.
Yo.
Dan,
why don't
you
get
those plugs out there for Colin, man. We're going to talk his ear off before he gets his plugs out there for him.
Absolutely. I literally have Genovese in my family, but I ain't going to say nothing. So you can check out my man, Colin. He's Taste the New Haven. That's his IG. You can go ahead and see all these beautiful pizzas he got laid out for you. If you really want to get out on tastenewhaven.com, they got tours on there, gift certificates, all kinds of things, little articles. Check them out. My man's doing big things. Got to see him.
Hey, I'm definitely doing the pizza tour this springtime when my schedule lightens up. Springtime is my easy time there, Colin. So we're definitely doing that. We're going to bring some friends down there with you.
Plum, I'm going to pull the fire alarm at your restaurant so you can't even go in that day.
Sounds great. Sounds great. So, Colin, what do you think, man, when you see – I mean, it's definitely – pizza has evolved to a whole different level than, you know, your Abitz and your Lombardi's or your Zuppardi's. It's changed now to a point where – I don't know, man. I don't know how to describe it. Where it's just – I call it being almost bastardized by the way it's been changed around so many times. And, you know, but when you see great places, like, for instance, one of my favorite restaurants, Good Old Days Pizza by good brother Matt Stanzicek, he's fucking killing it. And he's basically doing a Detroit-style pizza, but it's so fucking good. As a pizza purist like yourself, do you see places like this as a good thing? Or are you like, ah, what are you doing? I want to call Carmine and Tonelli to come help me out here.
You know, you could say different names. You could say different types of pizza. I come from a very small city, which maybe not in Connecticut. It's a big city in Connecticut. But it's a small place called New Haven. Yeah. We make one kind of pizza called New Haven style, Abitz, right? So all I know and all I care about is that. Now, the rest of the world has all its other kind of pizza. There's Neapolitan, there's, you know, whatever, New York style, there's Detroit, there's Chicago, there's, you know, like every other St. Louis, Quad City, bada bing, bada boom. The whole thing about it is that I actually think that everybody, every style of pizza is legitimate. It's a great product if it's done well. If you love it, you're right. If you think it's the best, you're right. It probably is the best for you.
Wait, but you're being so politically correct. Hang on a second.
No, you didn't wait for my punchline.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But the thing is that it's like religion. Ultimately, I think pizza is like religion. Is that that's what you grew up with, and then when you get to know what the real deal is, when you find God, when you find heaven, when you go to heaven, you find New Haven Abitz, and that's when you know you've been saved.
Okay, Jeffy, he's talking about that's the pizza served in heaven. Jesus, the big man himself, when he orders a pizza, he gets an Abitz.
Listen, Abitz. This is the thing. This is the thing that I all right, I'm going to tell you. So it's a beats, though.
A beats.
It's not pizza.
A beats.
A beats.
Right?
Right.
But it's beats because it's New Haven pizza is a beats. It's a not beats, actually right. Like pizza like everywhere else in the country.
Well, there's a reason right? Why.
Because it's different.
When you're ready,
but it's a little different. It's like a specialty type.
When you're ready, I'll tell you.
If I said, hey, we're gonna have pizza, but I served you Sicilian pizza in a big square fluffy pan with a beautiful Whoa. Sicilian thing, Whoa. It's still fucking pizza, right?
No.
Listen, Skywalker. When you're ready, I'll tell you.
Come on, bring it, Master Jedi. I want to hear this.
You're 100% right. The fluffy, the crusty, the crispy. You guys mentioned your favorite type of pizza. You mentioned a whole bunch of toppings.
Yeah.
And I call them toppings.
I wasn't asked. Please don't put me in the rest of these clowns. Don't ask me that question.
Oh, I love you guys. I'm just saying, when you talk about pizza and you talk about toppings, I'm not saying you, but I think the general public starts to believe that pizza is about the toppings.
Ooh.
And what I believe pizza is about the pure stuff. I am a purist. I'm a snob. And pizza is about the crust, the sauce, and maybe the cheese. The toppings are a completely other thing. That's like the next step. That's like you graduated, you're out there, you've retired, you have a chance to try some other stuff. You can make it. You can buy it. So pizza to me is the original thing. It's a bread. It's baking bread. And it's baking bread this very simple way. Now, if you do it Detroit style, which is really a Sicilian bread called a panna, it's like a sfincione. It's a type of focaccia. You got anybody family with those names? You know, I'm just saying, like those are the original. That's where that style came from. It came from bread baking in a pan.
Absolutely.
And it's delicious. It's gonna be fuck. It better be delicious. If they don't make it delicious like that, I mean. Tall grandma, you know?
Yeah.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, so it's different. The stuff that New Haven's making, the stuff that the original New York places are making, anybody on the East Coast, even the original in San Francisco and the ones in Napoli, they're in, even in, let's go to Argentina and Brazil, like where they originally started padding out the dough, pushing it out on a bench, you know, with the passion, with that spunk, and spreading that tomato, that crushed tomatoes on it, and the olive oil and the grated cheese. That's the original. That's the way Neapolitan pizza started. So when we talk about pizza, we really got to specify what we are talking about. I think Neapolitan pizza, or Neapolitan, like American style, we'll call it, is a totally different subject than the pan baked pizzas. I'm going to throw it out there. I think Detroit, even the Chicago, even the Grandma Styles, those are a different product, and they're wonderful. They can still be called pizza, but they're not the same. They're not in the same boat.
Interesting.
I agree. Which brings me back to my original point. Pizza, as we know it, a beats, comes from New Haven. But does that – so like when Lombardi had a pizzeria in 1904 or whatever –
we established, right? That wasn't true, though. That was fake news.
No, pizza. I read that my whole fucking life. I read that. I mean, I thought.
Wait, time out, Jeffy. Colin, listen to how angry Jeffy gets. I love it so much, especially when you set him up with the Miyagi stuff.
Danielson.
Pizza you like?
I love a beats too. Don't get me wrong. I think a beats is delicious. In fact, the pizza that I make personally, that I cook for my clients on a weekly basis, very much like a beats. Very thin. I like the char. I like the whole thing. It's very important to me that it's delicious like that. Personally, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that there's a lot of pizzas all over the place. I have a hard time believing it comes from Connecticut.
I still contend with.
No, of course not. No, it doesn't. Yo, it doesn't come from Connecticut. So here's the deal. The pizza we make in New Haven is very similar to this is what we believe. And this is what scientists seem to prove, like Nathan Mirvold.
Scientists.
That the pizza we make in New Haven, similar to what they make in the original places in New York, like a Lombardi's, Totono's, a Patsy's, a John's on Bleecker Street, even in Boston, Regina, there's a few of these places around still. The older established places, they make pizza similarly. They actually really do. You know, coal-fired ovens, thin, padded-out pizzas, nice, dense, crispy, chewy dough.
Char on that dough. Char on that
definitely
crust.
There's going to be char. It's touching fire, right? Yep. So, and there, it's a different type of, totally different type of flour, type of cook than what we now know as Neapolitan. So we got these, like, really yummy pizzas that we all like. And the thing about it is these came from Naples. Let's say they came over in late 1800s to America, right? So back then, they weren't speaking Italian in Naples. They were speaking what they actually called Napolitan, Neapolitan.
Yep.
And Napolitan was different than Italian, which is Florentine from Florence, which was pushed on the Italians when they unified in 1861.
Yep.
So the whole thing about why Italians fled, why they left, why they came to America and Brazil and Argentina and other places brought pizza is, in effect, the same reason why we have pizza, which is Neapolitan. It's the same reason why they brought their words like pasta fagioli. We talked about that last time. And other words, too, like ragout instead of ricotta. And, what the fuck, like fangulo, like, so, like, whatever. Anyway, I'm getting off the base. But here's the deal. The word for pizza in Neapolitan isn't la pizza, as you would say in Italian. It's a beats. So that's where pizza came from. It came from Naples. Our language came from Naples. The pizza came from Naples. This is not a Connecticut thing. It just happens that New Haven retained The history. We are
the history.
We are.
That makes sense.
Yeah, we're the lockbox.
That makes sense.
I just want to clarify a little bit what I say when I'm talking about this, and you know, I never claim that pizza was invented in Connecticut. I've never said that. However,
pretty sure you have.
Nope. I said pizza as we know it, like the delivery of pizza, the having it brought to your door, the, you know, as opposed to being a baker in a bread shop making it, an actual, you know, pizza shop delivering pizza to you, originated in New Haven.
I love the way that you articulate, Chef Plum. You are very good at it, and I still think that I still give a lot of clout to all the bakers around America that were doing the same thing that we did in New Haven. I think that we're seeing is that New Haven had more survivors, I would call it, the businesses who actually stayed and could tell the story. And there's a guy named Peter Regis. He is the leading pizza historian in America who's going to write a book. I hope to write with him, actually. This guy, he calls it the survivor story, because essentially all we have left is the stories we hear, like the Lombardi story or the Pepe story, you know, whichever one it is. And we need to dig deeper every single time to find out, well, guess what? Every city had a guy that delivered pizza. Every city had somebody that did the, you know, so that's just part of the legacy. Well, I will say, though, yes, New Haven, and as far as we know, New Haven had the first pizza box.
Ha!
New Haven had the first, yes, and New Haven had the first college pizza delivery, as far as we know. College students were eating pizza before anyone else here. And also the first pizza vending machine. Not that we should be proud of that, but we did have it. It was invented in New Haven, 1956. Bam.
Wow. So we've been chatting and getting all these things done. It's always great to hang out with our brother Colin Kaplan. We appreciate you so much coming on the show and hanging out with us. But I know our good brother Dan here on the program has some questions. And the problem is we get guests on this program, Colin, and Dan is a very smart, very talented
not the
chef.
Guest.
And we have people hang out, but Jeffy and I just steamroll everybody. That's just what we do. And we don't let any of our other good brothers ask questions. So I want to bring Dan in. And Dan, I know that you had some thoughts and you were excited to talk to Colin, man. Why don't you throw his plugs out there and get one of those questions you had out to him?
Sure, absolutely. And I don't mind. I like listening to you guys just chat it up. It's all good. But so the IG for Colin is Taste of New Haven. And you can follow him on tasteofnewhaven.com. And you can see all the things that he does. And I have a quick question. And this actually goes back to the invention of pizza. So actually today was watching this thing on pizza. And the tomato is not from Italy. The tomato is from America.
Central America, correct.
Started from Peru, ended up in Mexico. And then when the Aztecs were taken over by Cortez, the tomato ended up in Spain. And come to find out, the first time that they put tomato on a flatbread, kind of creating the pizza as we know it, was in Spain. Is that true, Colin? Do you know if that is in fact where pizza first came from, and then eventually the Medici thing where the chef put the pizza and made that for her? But the original pizza,
you're
from
Spain? Queen Margherita, right?
That's where it became like a popular in Italian culture. Yeah. But
here's the story I know. And again, this is a story that I have embedded. So this is the one I know. I think there's multiple like legacies, right?
You got a microphone.
So the story I know is that, thank you. So Peru in the 1500s was run by the Spanish, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's where the plum tomatoes came from. We all acknowledge that. However, in the 1500s, Spain also ran the Kingdom of Two Sicilies, which was Naples and Sicily. And as a gift, the king of Peru the viceroy of Peru gave the king of Sicily, which was in Naples, they gave them tomatoes and tomato seeds. And they said, we don't want this. So they gave them to the peasants. And the first time that we understand that, this is the first time we understand, 1565, that any European ever planted a tomato was in San Marzano, Italy, in the base of Mount Vesuvius, hence the San Marzano plum tomatoes. And it's actually the Italians that are credited with producing tomatoes in Europe, producing tomato sauce, red sauce, and finally putting it on the pizza. probably 150 years later, but you know, it took a while to get onto a flatbread. It happened in Italy. It did not. I don't believe it happened in Spain. I don't believe it happened in Greece. I don't believe it happened in Israel. I think it happened in Italy.
Wow.
Bam.
Okay.
All right. But I still go with tomatoes. Italians didn't know what the fuck a tomato was, so it came from here.
No, they did not. Nor did they know what, you know. All right, so the pasta thing is another thing, because I've started to look in the pasta thing, and that whole Marco Polo story is bullshit.
Well, it's Japanese, yeah, right? It's Japanese, right?
It's not Japanese at all. It's that there was pasta in China, but there was also pasta in Italy. And I actually completely reject the Marco Polo brought pasta from China in the 1500s. It didn't happen that way, or whatever year it was. Dumplings, I do believe, like let's say gnocchi, like I do believe a dumpling was brought from the Asian cultures.
That makes sense.
I actually think pasta making was there already. So we have a lot to learn, and I think there's a lot of rediscovering happening now, which is cool. But pizza's, yeah, we're just starting to talk about pizza history in a real way.
Yeah.
This is a big deal.
Well, yeah. It's such a rich history, too, because there's so many different locations around the country that kind of tout like a very similar story to New Haven. Like, you know, like the tomato pie, which is more like the Sicilian style pizza, comes from like Philadelphia, ended up in Utica, ended up all over the place, that like fluffy, just tomato sauce on top, no cheese. You know what I mean? But that's still a pizza, like we said earlier. Like, it's crazy to me how many of these stories actually exist. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be interested in hearing more.
Those
origins.
Yeah, and those kind of like grandma pizzas that you could bake in a pan, you don't need a coal-fired oven, you could put them in your conventional oven. I mean, that was so much easier to make. It was so much more accessible to people. And those would be a focaccia-style pizza that you could make. Even in Italy, in the countryside, you could make that. The aspect of Neapolitan style, which we see coming from mostly, almost entirely, pre-1920, coming from people who were from the Campania area, you know, they were making a very specific style of pizza. It wasn't, it didn't mean it came from Naples, but they came from somewhere near there.
Yeah.
That's the fascinating point, is that there's like a particular style of this bread. It's padded out. It's pushed down. It's not in a pan. It's on, you know, it's on the floor. It's on the hearth. And I think that's the passion that we love about it. There's also now a passion, of course, for the pan-baked pizzas, you know, as well now. We're saying, hey, there's an art here. There's a beauty. I would have to say the ones that seem to be doing it the best are the Detroit style. They're crisping up that cheese on the side. They're letting it all ooze out, and I appreciate what they're doing.
Yeah,
I appreciate it, but it's not true to the original. Like, tomato pie is focaccia light, thick sauce on top. You know what I mean? And it's served like room temperature most of the time. They heat it up a little bit. You know, like, I grew up eating that shit all over.
It's called like party. It's party at Pete.
Yeah. They called it gravy pie, like in some places where I grew up. Like,
sure.
You know,
gravy is Southern Jersey, Pennsylvania.
All right.
You know, the other thing is that if you go to Rhode Island, that's what they call pizza too. I mean,
it's fucking garbage. Stop calling it gravy. It's tomato sauce. It's a classic. It's a motherfucking sauce. Like, sorry, it's a mother sauce. Tomato sauce. Mother sauce. It's not a fucking gravy.
I'm sorry.
Enough
Where
of
are
that
you from,
shit.
Virginia? Stop. Shut up.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Let me just
what
take
about,
my.
Wait, hold on, Plump. What about Sunday gravy? That's like a tradition.
No.
Italian families, they have a Sunday gravy. It's tomato sauce.
It's tomato sauce. It's not a fucking gravy, Dan. Come on, you're the only other person with a degree. Back me up.
Yeah, nah, I don't call that shit fucking gravy. My mother was born in Italy, and none of us call it gravy.
We call it sauce, too. There's Jersey people call it gravy. It's a big thing.
Yeah, hey, exactly. We all know about Jersey people.
Right, right. I mean, that's exactly it. Hey, let's just all remember here, Red de Paisan, Gennaro Lombardi. That's all I'm saying. It's a great fucking name. It's a great fucking name.
Trust me, it's sauce.
Listen, but I could talk to Colin all fucking day long. These stories are so great. We should do like a whole pizza anthology with him, man. I can't wait. I want to come out there and we'll do a tour and bring the Good Brothers and we'll bring the microphones and just record the whole thing. Jeffy, that'd be fun.
I want the Good Brothers on a pizza tour. We're going to take a whole weekend day. We're going to pull the fire alarm. and we're going to get you guys out there. And
are we going to ride the bike thing? The bike thing?
Yeah, we'll take the party bike. We'll take the party bike.
Fuck yeah.
We'll do a pizza tour on the party
yeah.
bike.
Yep, you guys
we'll
see
get
the...
you guys a hotel room.
Yes.
No big deal.
Oh, we're doing yeah. all of this. We're doing all that. And listen, Big Money Jeffy is with us. He'll pay for everything. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
This is what I'm talking
That's how
about.
I do.
Big money.
Colin, you are a fucking treasure. I am so happy that you are here in the state, the great state of Connecticut. We are so lucky to have you and all the hard work that you do. What do you got? Can you give us a rundown of something new coming out with pizza or a new pizza place that you're into that maybe is a little undiscovered or something you just recently found before we get you out of here?
Yeah, sure. So I watch and witness places coming and going, doing their thing. Obviously, there's a new Sally's in Stamford. If you're in the area, try it out. I think they're doing it 90% of the job. I think it's really good. If you're a Sally's fan, try it. Just check it out. See what a new coal-fired oven looks like and see okay. what it feels like and tastes like. The one that I've been looking at is in the last year, this guy in Cheshire really has been up in the game. He comes from a pizza family, a Greek pizza family. Mm. And George at Fuoco Abit, to me, is making the pinnacle of beats right now.
Wow.
He's got his own place. He got his own oven built for coal, and he's burning coal
Amazing.
right across the street from like three other pizzerias. And he works his ass off. He trains everybody to do what he does, and he doesn't care how much it takes to do it. He just does it. So you got to try Fuoco. I mean, it means fire. It's amazing. He's making the real deal shit. He could be on Worcester Street and you wouldn't know the difference.
Damn.
So,
okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying right now.
Wow, that's awesome. We got to check those guys out. Dan, get his plugs out there before we get him out of here.
Absolutely. As he talked about, the Taste of New Haven. New Haven's what he knows. New Haven Pizza's his jam. Taste of New Haven got all the beautiful New Haven pizzas on there. Just how you like them at tasteofnewhaven.com. You can check out them tours, get up on one of them bikes, taste all them pizzas. Man, that shit just sounds amazing. I want some goddamn pizza.
Get up on one of them bikes. I love that.
Hell
hey,
yeah.
really, Colin, I got to ask you.
I'm pulling the fire alarm.
Hell yeah. Hey, did that beer last you the whole time or do you need another beer?
My beer is gone. I got to pee.
All right. Well, listen.
You know, things are happening.
All right, there we go. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, the icon, the pizza prophet, Colin Kaplan. There he is, folks.
Yeah.
Colin, thank you so much, man, for joining
us.
Love
you guys. Thank you.
We appreciate you, buddy.
Back,
we'll see
brother.
You down the road, man. There he goes, friends. Colin Kaplan, one of the best pizza guys on the planet out there, man. I love talking to that guy. It's so much fun.
Absolutely. He's a great dude. He's a great dude. He's super knowledgeable, and I love going back and forth with him about, the true history of pizza.
I see what you did there. I don't think I didn't see what the fuck you did there.
I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I spoke truths. That's what I speak, is truths.
Oh, man. Sorry, I'm just texting Colin saying thank you. That was a great conversation. I feel like there's just so much there you can't do it in an hour, you know?
No way. No way. We have to do the weekend. I'm in. The weekend, the pizza weekend with Colin is going to be epic.
Bro,
I can't wait.
Are you fucking kidding me? We're going to ride that fucking little bike gimmick where we all have to pedal and like sit at the bar and drink a beer while we're riding?
Yeah, ride a bike. It sounds like a lot of work, but I'll take care of it.
Dude, we can make this happen.
Pedal. I'll just sit. That'd be great.
No, we'll bring Dan. Dan will pedal. You ever seen his legs? He got that shit.
Yep.
Yo.
I buy, you fly.
That's it.
So absolutely.
Big shout out to Colin Kaplan for joining us on the program tonight. I always love talking to him. I was getting a lot of feedback during the show. Some people are saying it's one of their favorite shows they love hearing the history of food like this. So I don't know, man. Maybe we should look at some other historians when it comes to food, you know?
I love history.
The history of pizza to me is so fascinating because there's so many stories around
it. In Connecticut. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. are just so amazing, and the fact that it's true in Connecticut, but it's a fairy tale because it's from Brooklyn is really fascinating.
Brooklyn wasn't even invented yet.
Yeah, no, it's I'm just saying, like I you know,
right.
amazing.
Well, but no, the food of it's all of that stuff. I mean, Lombardi's, I mean, Pepe's, Sally, these are all great pizza places, man. I mean, John's in New York, like amazing pizza. Like if you're looking for great pizza. I mean, it'd be hard for any of us to argue that the Northeast is where you need to be.
Absolutely.
Dude. That's East Coast. Come on, Beast Coast. That's where we're at, baby.
Yeah, I was... Hold on, how are you fighting me on that? I was just trying to, like, make amends with you there on that.
No, I'm
the Northeast. New York is the Northeast.
I said Beast Coast. East Coast. Here we are. We're killing it. All of us. You're part of that. Connecticut is still part of the East Coast. I mean, it's a small part. It's a tiny little part.
All right, Jeffy.
Making a big impact, though, with pizza.
That's right.
Listen, I think you were related to that gangster Midgey.
Dude, how about the fucking names he was spitting out, though? Are you fucking kidding me? That's some good paisans.
Connecticut has some real ones, all right? Like, if you Google some, like, Connecticut mobsters and shit, there were some real ones up there.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Some fucking grimy motherfuckers, bro. They were doing some real dirt, but feeding a lot of people. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is.
I don't mean to take this down to, you know, we had such a fun show tonight, and I don't want to take it down and be sad, but... our family lost, I found out tonight, a very, very important person to me personally. I'm going to try to keep it together as I do this. And she helped me out with lots of catering gigs. She had been a part of, you know, all the work that I've done. And even Jeff and Dan had both had the opportunity to work with her. Doing a gig, one of the people who helped me the most, who was with me everywhere, Chloe, tragically passed away at the age of 28 years old. We don't know, have a lot of details. It was like a liver failure. We know that. But it just, you know, it's tough to take something tragic like this and try to turn it to a positive as best that you can. I just thought to myself 3 days ago, I was like, I haven't talked to Chloe in a little bit. I should give her a call and see how she's doing. And I didn't do it. And I really wish I had.
Yeah, brother. We all wish we had reached out and said hi to her and got to talk to her and see how she was doing. And, you know, it's sad and it's unfortunate that she's passed. And my heart goes out to her family, and I hope she knows wherever she is that we love her and that she'll always be missed. And her smile and her personality could light up a room, and she could take command of a party like no other. And it's a hard one. It's a hard one.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head there. It's these things happen, and I mean, we can say it's predetermined or people choose their own path. And, you know, I can't think about that as much as I can think about, like, if you're thinking about somebody in your life, call them. If there's somebody you haven't seen and they pop into your head and you wonder what's going on, call them. Just say hello. You don't have to have a reason. Just call them. Even just talk to them for 45 seconds. Call them. You never know what that phone call could do. You know, I'm not. The details of what happened to her are still a little foggy. I haven't talked to her father yet. I've talked to a close friend, a mutual friend of ours, who's a very, very close friend, and gotten some of the details. But you just, I don't know, man. I don't know where else to say about it, Jeffy. It's just, you find somebody in your life, you meet people in your life who affect you, and you know, they're with you no matter what, you know, through the good times, through the bad times. And those people can be amazing rocks in your life, like Dan and Jeff are to me. And sometimes you meet these people and I don't know, man, they need a little help. They need a little direction. And you can't always give it.
Yeah. No, you listen, it's Plum, you can't beat yourself up about not reaching out to our good friend here. She's because she's passed. I mean, it's terrible and it's sad, and there's nothing that you could have done except hear her voice before she had passed. And that's the part that is eating you up, is that you didn't get to say goodbye, and it just happened all out of the blue. You know, no one knew that. No, you know, it's, who knew? You know, she's just all of a sudden gone. And that right there is enough to shock us to our core and to make us all very sad. And like I said in the beginning, we're always going to miss her. She was a beautiful, beautiful person who we all loved very much. And she was a big part of, you know, the Plumlow Foods brand in the beginning, your catering business. Yep. She watched your fucking animals. She's been in your house. She was a friend. And we love you, Chloe, and we'll always miss you.
Absolutely.
Real quick, I want to say that, I mean, the last time I was with her, we had did a party, and I had my daughter with us. And for me, when somebody passes, I like to think about the things that, you know, the fun things that we did. So we were in the car, and her and my daughter are actually only about 6 years age in difference. And they were listening to some fucking emo bullshit. But they were singing that song. They were having a good time. We were driving back from New York or something. And she was just like a fun person. Like, she was cool. She'd be like dead serious and like straight grill you. But then she'd hit you with a funny ass sarcastic joke and you'd laugh. And she was a cool ass person. So for me, you know, it is what it is, man. But she was a marvelous person. Like, she was a beautiful soul. Like, she had a lot of things going on. But overall, like, she was a great human being. And I think about all the fun things and all the laughs that we had. And sarcasm was she was at 11. So, and that's the kind of persons I like to deal with. She was awesome.
Absolutely. Rest in peace, Chloe Mora. We love you. We'll miss you. And, you know, we'll see you on the other side, kid. We'll see you on the other side. Thank you, friends, for joining us here on Plumlow Foods Live. Big shout-out to our guest tonight, Colin Kaplan. A lot of fun talking pizza with him. Always enjoy having Colin on the program. He's such a great, good brother. Such a fun guy to talk to. Learning lots of history. There's definitely so much more there. We should make Colin, like, at least a 3 or 4 times a year guest on the program, Jeffy, so we can just get that
absolutely
information.
He's on my list. He's on my list. Just so I have someone to fucking, you know, guinea out with besides Dan.
Hey, it's another guy. Another reason for you to move to Connecticut. We got fucking Colin.
Bro, trust me, man. Trust me. They probably whack me, though, because I talk so much shit.
Oh, Jesus. I don't think so. you'd fit right in. They may question your afro, though. I don't know.
Hey, my whole family, they called me the milkman's kid. I don't know why.
Jesus Christ. Dan, what else you got? Anything else for the program this evening?
Yeah, can I hit you with a quick fact?
Go for it.
I just real quick. So this was it's interesting because, all right, so you know Roanoke, right? Virginia, the whole
town,
thing.
Roanoke? Was, yeah, that was about 2 hours from where I grew up.
Yeah, yeah, I figured that. So I was watching this program on
Western Virginia. It's close to Western Virginia. It's in the mountains. Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, so the reason why Roanoke was where it was and why people populated that area was because of sassafras. And I always think about sassafras because it has to do with root beer, which when I drank soda was my favorite soda.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, this is really cool. And I was like, man, and they were talking about how everyone went down there to try to cultivate sassafras because it was really something that they wanted to bring back to Europe. And then the reason why they wanted to bring it back to Europe was because apparently they thought it would cure syphilis because syphilis ran so rapidly. So the whole reason why they kept kind of ending up in that part of the world was just for sassafras, simply to try to cure syphilis. I thought that was just amazing. What do y'all think?
So you're saying root beer is a cure for syphilis?
Eventually, yeah. The toxic, I mean, that's what they did. When they made the tonics for it or whatever they did, the teas and everything, they were drinking it thinking that it would cure syphilis.
Was there that much syphilis going around?
No, it does not. Well, they still believe it does, but there's no real evidence that says it does.
I mean, was there really?
I'll
tell
you what.
Was syphilis that much of a problem?
Yeah. No. Oh, it was terrible.
Ben Franklin died of syphilis, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Al Capone died of syphilis.
When someone says something amazing like Dan just brought up, how sassafras cured syphilis, I love how Jeffy chimes in as this. He's like, he's always like, like the food historian is like, oh, well, Ben Franklin died of that shit. Like he's got some fucking points to add on to that shit.
it's true.
But he would never bring all that shit up in a conversation. He lets somebody else bring it up, then he like tags it.
Because
it was his fact. I just know about it.
Jesus. And then like Dan said that, I was trying to play the crickets, and Jeffy's like, let me throw in my 3 cents about this.
I'm don't like throwing crickets. I'm just shouting out Virginia. I thought it was a fun fact about Virginia.
Look at you in the sack.
They thought that root beer. They thought that it cured syphilis. Yep.
More nice. Importantly, we're changing your name now to Sassafras Dan.
Word.
Good old.
I think it's Dan Sassafras Dan or Dan Sassafras.
Oh.
Or Big Dan Sassafras.
Big Dan Sassafras. You can't make your own nickname.
Oh, damn it. Fuck, all right.
Sassafras Dan. Kentucky Sassafras Dan.
We just call him Phyllis?
That doesn't make any sense.
Instead of syphilis, we'll just call him Phyllis, like it'll be our joke.
Ooh. All right. All right. Listen.
I gotta be about syphilis.
If there's any other STDs you have in your life for God knows whatever reason, make sure you check out Plum Love Foods Live for all of your STD cures you're looking for that you can find. Tonight, it was all about sassafras, getting rid of syphilis. Big shout out to Chef Dan for that. How about that? We're getting out there. Dan's helping the people. He's doing big things.
Helping the people. Absolutely big things. Curing syphilis one person at a time.
Next week, Dan shows us how to cure genital warts. Make sure you stay tuned for that.
That's Ajax, I think. Use Ajax on those.
Ajax. All right. Well, shit.
Stay tuned.
Big shout out to our guest tonight, Colin Kaplan, for joining the program. Always love talking to him. Great conversation. As always, great time hanging out. Look forward to hanging out with him again in the future. Rest in peace, Chloe Moore. We love you. We miss you. For Chef Dan, I'm Chef Plum. And for Chef Jeff, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. We'll see you guys next week for our Thanksgiving show, baby.
Tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.